Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes, Ms. Cornwell?
Mr. Chairman, I would declare this agenda to be as revised. It was revised on November 9th of 2016, and it as presented to you as revised. It should be approved as revised.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda as revised.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as revised. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, then, on to old business. We have one item of old business this evening, conditional use number 2059, Julie Norwood.
Mr. Chairman, the only item that I think we probably need to discuss is the existing driveway on Route 24. And I guess I talked to Janelle earlier in the office, and there's a couple ways we could do this, and that's one is to you know, just noted in our conversation, it's already in the motion that there's only one entrance approved, and then address it during the preliminary site plan. A way to ensure that the existing driveway on 24 is not used is to perhaps require some shrubbery or something across that area, which would ensure that it's going to be blocked, rather than as opposed to putting a jersey barrier or bollards or something like that, which is ugly. But if we wanted to require some shrubbery, we would have to change the motion to reflect that.
I have that. I have that. That's been done.
Oh, it's been done?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, didn't read the motion.
And just to, real quick, to just expand upon that, just for the base of the record and the commission, for consistency's sake, the original conditional use prohibited any entrance off of Route 24 for that use. As you recall, it was a prior conditional use for a window cleaning, or an office for a window cleaning business. So that requirement would be consistent with the prior. And I think one of the things that the motion does talk about, since there's two conditional uses on this property, assuming this one gets approved tonight, and there's not a final site plan for either one of them, I think the motion this evening will make it easier for staff and the applicants and everybody if it's all consolidated into one final site plan. So,
agreed.
That's correct. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval for conditional use 2059 for Julie Norwood for a beauty salon based on the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the use is relatively small in nature and will occur within the structure that currently exists on the site. Two, the use of the conditional of the conditions and limitations placed upon it will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or roadways. Three, there are small businesses in the area which operate from properties and structures similar to that one, or to this one, including doctor's offices, a lamp store, small seafood business, and others. This will be consistent with these other scattered uses throughout this area. Four, although this property is in a subdivision, the documents in a chain of title to the property reference that it may be used for commercial purposes. Five, several nearby property owners appeared in support of the application and no parties appeared in opposition to it. Six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, in addition to these conditions, the applicant must comply with the relevant conditions imposed by conditional use 1981. That's the original one. In ordinance identified as ordinance number 2344, granted to Robert and Julie Norwood to operate the office for a cleaning service. B, this use as a beauty salon must occur within the structure that currently exists on the property. C, access to the property must be from Rhett's Lane and not be any direct access off Route 24, and the entrance that was installed from Route 24 must be removed and replaced with landscaping. D, the final site plan shall be clearly shown, or shall clearly show the parking areas and spaces set aside for this use, as well as the parking areas and spaces set aside for the cleaning office. Both uses shall comply with the parking requirements set forth in the plan in the Sussex County zoning code. E, as proposed by the applicant, there shall be no more than four stylists working within the salon at any one time. F, as stated by the applicant, the hours of operation shall be not from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, and 9 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. G, only one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted on the property. This single sign must be used to advertise the beauty salon and the cleaning service. H, this conditional use is on the same property as conditional use 1981/ordinance 2344, and Julie Norwood was identified as an applicant in both. Since no final site plan has been submitted in the prior application at this time, the applicant shall submit a single site plan or single final site plan that consolidates this conditional use with conditional use 1981/ordinance 2344. This consolidated final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
The moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2059, Julie Norwood, for the reasons with stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Just for the record,
you would let the record show the measure passed 3-0 with Mr. Hopkins abstaining because he was not on the commission at the time that application was heard.
Keep on top of them.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that while it is time for our public hearings this evening, we have none. So moving on to other business, our first item of other business is Woodfield Preserves revised subdivision plan.
This is a revised subdivision plan for Woodfield Preserve, reference number 2007-09, to allow for a revised street layout and for minor design changes, including a reduction in the overall number of lots. The site consists of 195 plus or minus acres and will contain 253 single-family lots with recreation amenities. Planning Commission approved the plan on October 13, 2011 with 256 lots. Property is zoned AR1. Tax map parcel number is District 235, map 9, parcel 23. Staff notes that a time extension request has been submitted to the Planning Office for consideration by the County Council. Staff is awaiting for agency approvals. Thank you.
Just on this one, for the benefit of the commissions, particularly since we have a couple new members, from time to time we do get requests like this to revise a previously approved subdivision, and the commission has the ability to do that. What the commission needs to sort of keep in mind is whether it's a real substantial change, from what the public considered during the public hearing. Historically, if it's essentially the same, and particularly if it's a reduction in lots, which equals a reduction in density, you know, the commission's not going to make somebody go back through the whole subdivision process. I just wanted to let everybody know, that this isn't necessarily unusual. And it sounds like really it is a reduction and not that great of a change since the original.
The council approved the time extension Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to say that. So.
And can't we approve this as a revised final subject to staff receipt? Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the Woodward Preserve's revised subdivision plan as a final, subject to staff receiving all agency approvals.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve Woodfield Preserve's revised subdivision plan. As a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all the permits. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Therma King on Sussex Highway final site plan.
This is the final site plan for the expansion of an existing truck service and repair business located at 36550 Sussex Highway off Route 13. The Planning Commission granted preliminary approval on June 19, 2016, applicants will construct a new 9,600 square foot service building with an accessory parking lot for trailers. It is served with on-site water and an on-site septic sewer system. Property is owned C1. Tax parcels are 532, 13, parcel 62, and 6201. Plan proposed parking has an existing parking lot within the front yard setback, and that technically needs Planning Commission approval, although this is a pre-existing type condition. It was there before they came in and submitted. They also should be required to submit a lot line revision plan that has to be recorded prior to the final plan signatures by staff. We do have all agency approvals. Thank you.
So the lot line revision plan has not been recorded yet?
Correct.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the Thermo King Chesapeake final site plan with the provision that parking will be allowed in the front yard setback along Allen Mill Road, and that the line lot line revision plan must be recorded prior to final site plan signatures by staff.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve Thermo King on Sussex Highway as a final, subject to the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Delaware Botanic Gardens. This was conditional use number 1965, amendment to a condition of approval.
This is a request to amend a condition of approval for the conditional use. The applicants are seeking relief from condition one that requires a landscape berm and heavy vegetation to be provided on the perimeter of the site for screening purposes. The applicant originally proffered the berm and landscaping to help screen the items from the surrounding properties. Based on the revised design, they no longer believe the berm is necessary as there are fewer and smaller buildings and the walking trails and gardens are farther from the property lines and road. The area adjacent to the parking area will be screened by the existing trees on site. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, move that we approve the amendment to the conditional to conditional approval CUS 1965. And can we make that as a final?
Well this is just the condition.
Amendment to a condition.
Amendment to a condition.
Okay, so we don't have to.
No, well, what they're asking,
you're approved.
Can we just do this?
Well, it's a little bit different. So they had a condition of approval
yes. That
required a landscape berm and heavy vegetation, and they're asking for that that condition to be amended to delete the berm. Mm-hmm. So it's just all you're doing is approving
the amendment.
The request to delete the berm and heavy vegetation.
I move that we approve the amendment to the condition of approval subject to agency approvals.
Nope, you don't
need any.
Yeah,
not even that. Just.
Oh, okay. Because it says you're waiting for agency.
That's the next
motion,
one.
Motion, no.
Okay, I apologize.
Good.
It's on the agenda twice, so I apologize for any confusion because they're asking for the request
second
for the.
One, the second
oh, okay.
The second one actually is the site plan.
This is relief.
I'm confused.
So just saying. The motion perhaps could be that you move to grant.
Need to consider the
that's
condition
I mean,
before you consider
that's
a site plan.
Amendment of a condition.
Okay.
That's all you have to say.
I'm sorry. I would move that. I move that we grant the amendment to condition of approval for Delaware Botanic Gardens, CU number 1965.
Second.
Well done. So moved and seconded to grant the amendment of condition of approval for Delaware Botanic Gardens. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Delaware Botanic Gardens, conditional use number 1965, revised preliminary site plan.
This is a revised preliminary site plan for the Delaware Botanical Gardens, CU 1965, located on Piney Neck Road. The Planning Commission approved the preliminary plan on August 13th, 2005. The use required a conditional use. The Planning Commission recommended approval at their meeting on September 12th, 2013, and County Council approved the conditional use on October 8th, 2013. County Council granted a six-month time extension, and the site shall be substantially underway by April 2017. Otherwise, it shall expire. The plan is revised to reflect smaller buildings with reduced impervious surfaces and parking lot modifications. The tax parcel is District 233, Map 6, Parcel 116.10, and staff is awaiting agency approvals.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant a revised preliminary site plan to Delaware Botanical Gardens 1965, subject to agency approvals or receipt of agency approvals.
Well,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Final would be subject
final,
to receipt
final
of agency
approval.
Yeah.
Okay.
The request is for the plan is in front of us for a preliminary approval. So you would your motion perhaps would want to be approved as a preliminary with final approval.
That's what I'm
by the staff.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say.
Okay.
And I second that motion, Chairman.
Just clarify. Okay, it's moved and seconded to to approve the revised preliminary site plan for the Delaware Botanic Gardens with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all of the permits. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is Bayside Exteriors preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan to construct a 4,400-square-foot building to contain office and storage space on a 0.5-acre site. The site will also contain a 5-space parking lot, which does require commission authorization for its location within the front yard setback. The property will be served by public water and sewer. The property is located at 32172 Nassau Road, tax parcel 334-5, parcel 73. Staff is awaiting agency approvals.
Is there any reason, Ms. Cornwell, why this can't be approved as a final subject to staff?
There is no reason for that.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the Bayside Exteriors site plan as a final subject to staff receiving all agency approvals.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve the Bayside Exteriors preliminary site plan with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all the permits. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Schofield Amenity Plan preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of a 4,000-square-foot clubhouse, swimming pool, and a 39-space parking lot associated with the Schofield subdivision located off Gills Neck Road. The amenities have access from Snow Juniper Lane, which is a private street within the subdivision. Tax parcel is District 335, Map 8, Parcel 51, 46, part of, and 5302. Property is owned AR1. We are in the receipt of all agency approvals. Thank you.
Can this be a preliminary and a final?
Yes, as we now have all agency approvals.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the preliminary site plan and a final for Schofield Amenity Area Plan.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve as a preliminary and final site plan, Schofield Amenity Plan. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Different.
Mm-hmm. The next item is Coastal Club, Land Bay 6, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan to construct 21 single-family lots and 63 townhouses on fee simple lots as part of the Coastal Club development. A walking trail is also provided as part of the section. The property is owned MR RPC. Tax parcels are District 334, Map 11, Parcels 5, 5.01, 5.02, 5.03, and 311, 393, 395, and 396. We are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the Coastal Club Land Base 6 preliminary site plan.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the Coastal Club Land Base 6 site plan as a preliminary. Was that the extent of your motion?
That was it. Okay. Yeah, it's an RPC. It's
that's right.
Come back.
This one, just for the for the benefit of everybody.
New guys, if it's an RPC, it automatically has to come back. Can't be approved all at one time.
So an RPC, it's like a big subdivision that involves a rezoning. So unlike regular subdivisions that start here and stop here at the commission, an RPC is a rezoning, so it goes from planning and zoning, gets a recommendation to county council, and then they act on it, and they can put conditions on it like we can on a subdivision. And what happens is then it comes back in all these different phases, just like this one does, and there's a final approval along the way too. But so like this one is just one of the phases in this much larger project that was approved by county council with conditions, in this case, years ago. So. Yeah, and that's the same thing sort of with Schofield. That one, that was actually a subdivision, as I recall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, that went through the public hearing process here at the Planning and Zoning Commission, got its preliminary site plan, you know, and they're going out and getting all the agencies to review it and comment on it and approve it. And they're working on their final site plan. In this particular case, they've finalized the amenity area, and that's why that came back to you all. So in these other business items, you're going to see a lot of these little parts of larger projects that come in. So that's what it gives you a little bit of a context on it. So, anyway.
All All right, then. So the motion was, we have been moved and seconded to approve Coastal Club Land Base 6 site plan as a preliminary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is AutoZone on Coastal Highway preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for a new AutoZone store, number 6778, to be located at 17649 Coastal Highway in Lewis. Plan proposes to construct a 6,800 square foot building with a 28 space parking lot. The Board of Adjustment granted a variance at their meeting on November 7, 2016 to reduce the commercial highway overlay zone landscape buffer. The plan does show parking within this front yard setback that does require approval by the Planning Commission. Property is zoned C1 and combined highway commercial overlay zoning. Tax parcel is District 334, Map 6, Parcel 4.01. We are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, there is an opportunity here at the rear of this property. There's another commercial property that fronts on Savannah Road. So there is an opportunity for interconnectivity between this commercial use and the one fronting on Savannah Road. So I don't want to slow the process up, but I think perhaps the staff could discuss this with the applicant, and then we can address that when final site plan comes about. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the preliminary site plan for AutoZone Coastal Highway with the plan depicting parking in the front yard setback as depicted on the plan.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to grant approve the preliminary site plan for AutoZone on the Coastal Highway, including the waiver for the parking in the front yard setback. All those in favor say aye.
Is that better than I do?
Opposed? Carried. Okay. Lands of Barry Dukes, minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision to create two parcels of land off a new 50-foot easement. The new easement will go over an existing driveway. The easement is on an adjacent parcel of land. The two lots exceed the minimum acreage requirements and exceed the minimum frontage requirements.
It's got upside down.
The properties are zoned AR1. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 8, Parcel 5.04, 5.01, and 5.05. Staff is awaiting approvals from the Office of the State Fire Marshal and DLDOT.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the request for the lands of Barry Dukes to make a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement. And I think contingent on the staff receiving the approval from the Office of State Fire Marshal and DLDOT.
Second.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for on the lands of Barry Duke, subject to receipt of the staff's receipt of approval from the fire marshal and DLDOT. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is lands of Gundry Farms, LLC, minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision to create one parcel of land off a new 50-foot easement. The new easement will go over an existing driveway. The lot exceeds the minimum acreage requirement and exceeds the minimum frontage requirement. The property is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is District 531, Map 18, Parcel 27, and staff is awaiting approvals from the Office of State Fire Marshal and DLDOT. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the application for the lands of Gundry Farm for minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement. With final subject to staff upon receipt of the approval from Office of State Fire Marshal and DLDOT.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for lands of Gundry Farms, LLC, subject to the staff's receipt of approvals by the Delaware State Fire Marshal and the Delaware Department of Transportation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right, then. Moving on to additional business. We have a discussion regarding the comprehensive plan. Okay, if you want to, for the benefit of folks that might not have been there, was everybody at the, Doug?
Mr. Watson was not.
Yeah.
I tried to go.
Sorry.
And everything broke loose at school.
I understand. I get it.
So on Tuesday, as part of the county council meeting, there is a workshop between county council and the planning commission to discuss the comprehensive plan. McCormick Taylor, the consultant, was there. They gave an overview of kind of where, what they've been doing so far, and provided the steps forward that's laying out the next portion of the comprehensive plan, which is identifying the goals and some implementation ideas and themes that will come back to the commission and county council in mid-December for another workshop in January to finalize some of those ideas. And then with the second round of public hearings, public meetings in late March, April timeframe of next year. And again, staff requested if there is anything you liked or didn't like about the current comprehensive plan to let us know of the ideas that you know you had seen so far from the feedback from all those comments. If you were seeing some things you wanted to discuss, to let us know so we could make, I could pass that along to McCormick Taylor so we can make sure we're kind of moving forward with what everybody believes the county should look like in 2045.
Will there be more meetings?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm hoping there'd be quite a few.
There will be.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll probably have meeting fatigue. I'm wondering, Janelle, if we can't update the data within the Parks and Rec element in our current plan. Just take the current Parks and Rec element, update the data for whatever paths have been added, if there are any park expansions and all that, so that in the meeting in January, that element will have the updated data within the old plan format. It seemed like there was a consensus that there was not need for a lot of change in language in the Parks and Rec at our joint meeting. And maybe the same thing with the historical element as well. And perhaps if that's if McCormick Taylor has the data to do that with. And that would maybe give us a little more focus in the next joint meeting, have some meat and potatoes to discuss. And if we can get those two at least done, and if there's time or resources available, we might even start to tiptoe into the community design element, depending upon how comfortable McCormick and Taylor and yourself feel, you know, in presenting something at the joint meeting. If you don't feel comfortable, then we'll put it off. If you do feel comfortable in going that far, we'll then add it to it.
Again, the intent is just to come up with overreaching themes and goals and ideas for each of the chapters so we can start kind of focusing a little bit before chapter writing begins, because if we have some goals and themes, because again, all the chapters kind of overlap and interconnect, and I completely understand about the Parks and Rec chapter. We just want to make sure that, and there was pretty much some consensus on that chapter. We just don't want to start writing it before we kind of set some of the goals, because you never know, they could trickle down and change something.
I think on that one, that's pretty clear. You know, I think they can really get started. I know what you're saying. I even worry a little bit about community design, because I know there was some issues that came up about senior housing and that demographic. But, you know, I feel like historic preservation and Parks and Rec, we heard from council, we've heard from some of the members of the commission. I really think we should just turn them loose on that based on the current plan. I don't know that that's going to change a whole lot.
Right, and I don't think it is. And I think they're going to update the data. That's what they're going to be working on now, is they're updating the data for all of those chapters. They just don't want to, you know, start writing a chapter and then we pop up, there's some goal that just kind of, or some theme that just kind of derails that chapter and they've spent all that time. But they are doing the data research. They are working on all of that for the chapters. Because, again, they want to have a cohesive plan. And again, they've said this is kind of the process that has worked in, you know, they've used in other counties throughout, and that it's a good process that seems to get everybody on board to moving forward to a plan that, you know, will have a good outcome and that everybody is comfortable with. And I think, and again, they did state that they're working on the data portion of all the chapters. They just don't want to start fleshing anything out without having, you know, the approval or, you know, further discussion, which the commission and council will see in mid-December.
Well, let's pose it this way. I mean, I think I totally get what you're saying, but let's start with historic preservation. You all have seen the comp plan. does the commission really feel like it needs to be completely redrafted? I mean, the historic preservation is something that the county has dealt with, you know, in a sort of a certain way with our staff here. I mean, is that something you want them to sort of get rolling on? Because, you know, these folks sort of direct the way it's going.
Well, personally, my feeling is you've got to start somewhere, and we've got to anticipate there will be changes. There's going to be edit. There's going to be additional public input. There's going to be input from a lot of sources. But to simply take our current framework and at least update the data, at least gets us moving and propelling us forward. And I think it gives a bit of a momentum to the process, if you will, of at least saying, okay, we're starting to advance the ball. I think we should anticipate that there will be edits. There should be
absolutely.
Edits.
But
at least we start to get data to start to have, so the council and the commission can start to digest the new data along with McCormick Taylor. It's fine if they have new data, but I think it's important that we have it. And then if we change the format, or if I can't see in those elements our goals changing dramatically from where we're at. They might subtly change a little bit, but I can't see them flipping head over heels 180. You know, maybe they will, and if they do, we'll adjust to that. I mean, we shouldn't be, you know, refuse to accept change. But I think it gets us going on those easier elements. And if we can get the bulk of that behind us and those easy elements, then that gives us more time and energy to focus on the ones that really are going to be more difficult to deal with.
And it helps give us a sampling of them listening
to
what
work,
we have to say and then basically repeating it back in writing. And then hopefully then that gives us even a more comfort zone, comfortability in future meetings, knowing that they'll hear what we say and are able to pretty accurately articulate it back in writing.
Yeah, I agree. We'll just ask them. We've got time.
We've got plenty of time because, you know, there's whole year and a half yet to go.
At least if we had a little more focus in the next joint meeting, I won't be there most likely. I'm still going to be on vacation, but I'm sure you guys can handle it.
And again, you'll start seeing some of that information in mid-December. So
accomplished.
Have I left yet? What do you say? Have I left yet?
He's going to be worried with you not here.
He's going to be happy I'm gone. You know, notice what happened to Mr. Burton since he won the election. You know, he's like, ta-da, you know, he's up here now, right?
Okay.
We have maybe a member of the public.
And now if there's anyone here from the public that would like to speak on a land use plan. Yes, ma'am, come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Good evening. I'm delighted to be here. I am Sue Claire Harper, and I'm a resident of Rehoboth Beach. I need to share my perspective. I was raised on Long Island, arriving there in the early 50s, when it bore a great deal of resemblance to what I found down here in Sussex. Beach community, I lived close to the beach. There were lots of truck farms. And as I grew up through grammar school, high school, all of that got paved over. Trees went down. The only thing that was preserved in growing up was through the foresight of Robert Moses, and that Jones Beach, where I spent many years, is as beautiful today as it was that many years ago. So having had that perspective, I became very, very much concerned and interested in participating in the comprehensive plan process and making my views known. And that's from where I'm coming from. Although I have a host of concerns about what I would like to see in the comprehensive plan of 2018, I'm going to confine it to four for this evening. The first has to do with connectivity. Requiring that the roads and all future developments be built to state standards, noting that connectivity of developments will help alleviate at least some of our overwhelming road congestion. I don't know the number of times where I have been on Route 1 seeing an ambulance, a fire truck, locked in the traffic and thinking, glad it's not me, and wondering what was the delay in time before that emergency vehicle was able to get to the person in need. I should also add, I'm a nurse by profession, and I realize that moments count. In addition to the potential of providing what might be life-saving access by emergency vehicle, this is particularly critical given the rising median age of Sussex County residents, of which I am one. My second concern is I would like to see the comp plan mandate that every developer building in and proximate to a transportation improvement district, which I know is a new offing, integrate both low and moderate income housing, including rental units. I don't think this can be optional. I don't think this is an opportunity. I think it needs to be mandated that the developers be required in their development projects to have, among other measures implemented through the plan, higher density zoning, an elimination of impact fees for water, sewer, at least for the portion of the development designated low and moderate income. I stress that various economic levels be fully integrated throughout the development design, not apportioned in an area set aside. Essential to this process would, of course, be working with DLDOT to enhance public transportation, and I think I gather that the county's moved ahead light years in that regard, in credit to both the county and Jennifer Cohen's leadership, I think. My observation is. I have been informed that this building strategy has been successfully implemented for many years in Montgomery County, Maryland, which I am fairly familiar with, improving the quality of life and the economic success for residents and businesses alike. I think the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as the County Council, needs to demonstrate the political will to support and welcome residents throughout the economic spectrum. Finally, very dear, near and dear to my heart as a gardener, is it breaks my heart, living where I do in Rehoboth, every time a new development comes across the board in the limited time I have lived here, which is going on 5.5 years, where you see a clean clearance of major trees taken down, and if the developer, like I think it's a Fairfield Suites that I observed this last, and now it's being done at one of the Tanger developments, the trees come down, and the best one can look for to see replaced are bushes. Well, bushes just don't cut it. It doesn't sequester the carbon dioxide. It doesn't provide the cooling. It doesn't provide the beauty that all of us take for granted, the oranges and reds and yellows that we have so much in this county. They're gone, and bushes don't do it as a replacement. I think that the county ought to require that developers replace those trees that are taken down, and that is established trees of a specified diameter, replace those trees with native species trees of a certain diameter, so that in time the area will have the tree canopy to again sequester the carbon monoxide and give us the visual beauty that existed prior to the development. And finally, and I know you all have done a lot of work on this, but I would like to see the visual blight of billboards and signage further reduced. I would much prefer that Sussex raise the bar considerably higher and follow the lead of Worcester County in Maryland, totally eliminating additional billboards. With a vision to the future, I would then anticipate that the county would work with DLDOT to promote the planting again of suitable native trees and shrubbery along Route 1 in a collaborative effort by public and private agencies, enhancing the environmental appeal for it all, for us all, which is such a joy for me, and I think it's a particular joy drawing people to Sussex County. And I thank you so very much for this opportunity to speak. I do suggest that the awareness of this be promoted widely so that others can express their views and be heard.
We're doing our best to do that. The commission decided very early on in the process to make this an agenda item for every meeting between now and then. And unfortunately, we don't have an advertising budget, so we're not able to go on TV or the radio. So we're really relying on you and the organizations that you represent to help us get the word out. And I appreciate you being here this evening. And you mentioned that you had many concerns. You were going to limit it to four. Well, you know we do this at every meeting, and you're welcome to come back and share four more.
I very well may be. Thanks okay. So very much.
Ma'am, before you step away, since it's so early and we have such a heavy agenda tonight, I just want to mention some of the items that you mentioned: density, impact fees, mandated affordable housing, some ordinance or something to require a certain level of trees or mature trees. Those are all ordinance related, okay? The comprehensive plan does none of that.
I know.
And so I think you were at last night's League of Women Voters meeting. I recognize you. I was sitting in the back, but I was trying to pay attention as much as I could. And I thought that was a well-run meeting, by the way. And I think it was mentioned by Sarah Kiefer, the difference between the comprehensive plan and ordinance. And so I understand your concerns, but the place to voice those types of concerns are probably not within this process, okay? I'm not saying they're bad concerns or good concerns. I'm not passing judgment on that. But the comprehensive plan is a guidance document. As we've been told, it's a narrative of how we would like to see ordinances implemented to support that guidance document. So it's a more like a 30,000-foot view. It does carry legal weight, especially the growth areas and all the zoning districts and all that. But the rest of it is a guidance document. So I think as you talk to your friends or colleagues, whatever, different community members, that it's helpful to the commission if we understand what it is we're working on and focus on that. Not saying that these aren't good comments, because they are, but that's what we're looking for, an input on the comprehensive plan. It's comprehensive plan related issues. And if there's a question about that, I'm sure you can call staff to get a better, more complete explanation or whatever of what we're trying to do and broader goals and that sort of thing, okay?
Thank you. Correct me, instruct me. I'm on a steep learning curve.
So are we.
That's a story of life, is it not? I understand that some of the things I suggested would require ordinances. My understanding is that in the last 2008 comprehensive plan, there were 23 ordinances that were proposed when it was submitted. I understand further that only seven were adopted subsequently.
For consideration.
Now that's a kind of a common misunderstanding. What was done in the prior plan was that in the elements there were goals, sort of the 30,000-foot look at things. And as part of the process, the county decided, you know, let's sort of make a little bit of a scorecard where we could consider these items. And it's frequently stated that that these ordinances were just sort of let go or ignored or whatever. And, you know, I know, as you know, we have to now do annual reports to the governor and the Office of State Planning Coordination on the comp plan, and that started about 5 years ago. And at that time, we actually went through each of those items that was in the plan. And there's a couple things to keep in mind with that. There was, I'm not sure what the number was now, if it was 23, but 23. Of those 23, several of them were incorporated into single ordinances. So those 23 topics, like three of them might have made their way into a single ordinance. Other ones were single item ordinances that were adopted, but all of them were considered at one point in time or another. There wasn't a mandate that they'd be adopted. So, but that's kind of how we went in the 2008 plan. You know, I don't know if there's going to necessarily be a list like that in this plan or not. Certainly, like we talked about on Tuesday, there's going to be goals, which are sort of the as Marty said, the greater themes, I guess. And then after the plan, we'll sort of come back and look to see what ordinances need to be introduced and considered and possibly adopted later on. So,
I would add that all the 23 items were discussed at council level, and I believe the commission level too, and the council came to the decision that some of those items, they considered them, they didn't adopt them, but they were considered, they were discussed, and most of the time at length. They just didn't go to the public hearing process to do an ordinance on that section because they weren't ready to carry it any further.
Thank you. In terms of any of the things that I suggested, my druthers list, my personal druthers list, such things as preserving trees and providing for their replacement, I understand that would have to be an ordinance created for that. But would that not be a theme that would fall within
Our conservation,
your purview?
It's currently in our conservation element. And I would suggest, you know, that you do that. I mean, you think about what you're looking at and read the current plan. It's online. And I've downloaded and printed it, but it's 200 pages, so you may not want to do that. And just, you know, read through it, kind of speed read and highlight a thing or put a post-it in. Mr. Johnson gave me a whole pile of post-its when he retired, and I'm using them. And then go back through and see where your thoughts might be in a general sense, not a specific sense, like saying we need to have a certain density in a certain zoning district. That's ordinance. But if you want higher densities for affordable housing, then look into those sections and see where, in a general sense, you might insert language in there that would advance that discussion. And then keep in mind that when we get done this process of the comprehensive plan, we've created a guidance document, and that's the beginning, okay? The real meat and potato is in ordinance. Mm-hmm. So I don't have my briefcase tonight because we had a light agenda, but I have two books in my briefcase sitting at home that I just used the other day. One's our comprehensive plan, and it's in a 4-inch three-ring binder. And one is our ordinance, chapter 115 and 99, which is in a 4-inch three-ring binder. And then that spells out how you implement that. And so after the comprehensive plan, as these items come up for consideration and discussion, then come back and say, okay, you know, this is generally in the comprehensive plan, and we would recommend these specific items in ordinance. Now, maybe you'll win some battles and maybe you'll lose some. We all are on the short end of the stick sometimes. I've been on the short end of 3-2 votes, and I've been on the long end of 3-2 votes. I mean, it happens. I've been 4-1 before, you know. But that's just so you understand the process and what we're trying to do. And it concerns me in a general sense because I think people are expecting a lot of specificity out of the comp plan as I read editorials in the newspaper, as I listened last night. And I'm afraid they're going to be disappointed because that's not what the comp plan does. It's a guidance document, and the specificity comes after we adopt that.
Then am I correct in understanding that the ordinances would come out of county council?
Well, by and large,
if there were any suggestions.
Yeah, by and large, they're done. I mean, generally what you would do, unless you come up with a new zoning district and you would have to establish new ordinance for that district, you would look at the ordinances that are there to adjust them.
I think your question is, would the ordinance amendments, would they originate? Is that what you're asking?
They can originate here or either place. We can do it here at the commission, and the council can do it. Generally, we defer to the council to do that. I mean, that's
they always have to be introduced at the council level.
But
it just depends. I mean, at the commission level, we've come up at times with a list of things in the current ordinances that just need to be fixed or that aren't current with the times, not so much substantive, but more just, you know, it talks about something that's just not done that way anymore. So, and what we'll do is send that up to the commission, to the council, with recommendations you need to address these items. And that's how it could go with the comp plan. You know, it could kind of go either way. So
don't give up hope. I mean, keep stirring. And even your discussion about densities, it is appropriate to discuss that in the comp plan, but not in the specificity of mandating units for affordable housing, for example. That's beyond the scope of the comp plan. That's an ordinance issue.
But the density would be.
But talking about affordable housing, the need for it, and discussing in general, maybe we can do higher densities, maybe we can increase building heights, maybe we would incorporate mixed housing. those are very much appropriate in a comprehensive.
Terrific.
And I want to encourage you to continue to put your comments on the record, because essentially what you're telling us is where you want to be. Well, it's always a good idea to know where you want to end up when you start a trip. You're beginning a trip, it's a good idea to know where you want to end up. So we're at the beginning of the trip right now. So it's totally appropriate for you to share where you want to end up, even though this leg of the trip's not going to get you all the way there. But it certainly could help in a formulation of the broad guidance document that would support the action that you would hope to see come from that. And most of those changes will originate with county council. So we do have the opportunity to influence that process ourselves. And so we're very grateful to have your input, and your efforts among the public are much appreciated for the reasons I stated earlier. We don't have an advertising budget. We rely on you folks to help us get the word out. So thank you.
I intend personally to spread the word, and I expect, until my children lock me up somewhere, I expect to live here for a number of years.
You're welcome here, too.
Thank you so much.
Well, and it's important. I will say this. I'll wrap up with this, and this is a little bit of a historical perspective on the plans. It's good for your involvement, your group, and people's involvement at the plan stage when we're talking about those bigger things, because, you know, you've probably sat through land use public hearings, and at that point, you know, lawyers or engineers are arguing the ordinances based on what the comprehensive plan says, and a lot of times people come and they don't like it. You know, they don't like what we've got to apply to an application. The problem is they're participating at that laser-focused time of the process, which is 100-acre piece of property somewhere close to their house, versus now when we're sort of formulating how all those things are going to go forward in the future.
If I said it once, I probably said it 50 times, that this is the public's opportunity to influence policy. This is not at a planning and zoning hearing. It's too late then. Everything's in place. The plan's in place, the ordinance is in place, and that's what we're working with at that point. Now's the time to influence how those things are done.
And yet, despite all that Janelle has done an admirable job, I think the website is terrific. I regularly encounter people, natives, people in business who are very much involved in their communities, saying, what are you talking about? What's the comp plan?
But you know one thing Janelle did? In every tax statement, there was a Sussex plan brochure explaining and showing the website.
Right.
Everybody that got a tax bill should be fully aware. I mean, I don't know what you can do other than knock on their door like the campaign people, you know, during election, you know. One thing that kind of, I mean, it's a litmus test for me personally. This is just a personal observation, you know, is if you have a lot of people at a meeting, there's a heck of a lot of interest. If you have a few people at a meeting, there's generally not a lot of interest. And maybe there's a lot of people out there that are just satisfied with what's going on, and there's some people that aren't. Generally, in my business, when a customer wasn't satisfied, I heard about it pretty quick. I didn't get too many pats on the back, but I often got the pat on the back would move down to a lower region on my body very quickly, I can tell you.
But you didn't realize it's not just the comprehensive plan that people don't realize it exists. If they don't realize the zoning exists until it impacts them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Either on something they want to do or something their neighbor wants to do. So it goes all the way up to the zoning.
No, that's so true, too.
And that's in your backyard.
Always that one. Yeah. Back square one every time.
Yeah.
In regard to that piece that was in the, what did it come with, which bill?
With your tax bill.
My tax bill. That in a past life I also did advertising, and for a local paper where I lived, a weekly paper. And, and Madison Avenue reflects this, is that people, you know, if someone's distracted during the time that they are receiving that, and it just goes, you know, into the recycling bin, that's the end of it. It didn't register at all. So I think there, if it can be economically feasible to do so, I think it would be good to be in multiple Of course, I don't, the only bill I think I get is a sewer or tax bill.
Unfortunately or fortunately, we only get one tax bill a year, so we only have one opportunity.
I'm glad we only get one.
But your point's well taken. It's repetition, and that's why we keep repeating it here for anyone who might be listening on the internet or whatever.
Yes, that's excellent, too.
So, you know, again, we appreciate all your efforts to help us spread the word.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
for all the work that you do volunteering for to serve us, the residents. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Does anyone else like to speak on the land use plan this evening? All right, then. Ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. Does anyone else have anything for the good of the order?
I hope Mr. Burton is having a good, relaxing weekend.
We do indeed. With that, then, we'll adjourn with...
And we hope that Mr. Ross enjoys his short vacation.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Peace and heart.